97.5, The Fanatic.
Joe Torty Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Talking Eagles, talking Flyers, Josh Gordon, Carson Wentz, etc., etc. Two open phone lines. You can grab those now. 610-632-0975 as promised. Let's get to the phones with Ari and Warminster next on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's going on, Ari?
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I love Wentz more than McNabb, but honestly, that's an insult to what McNabb had to work with. I mean, we're talking about James Trash, talking about Todd Pinkston, Torrence Small going way back. I mean, you know, Wentz, it was tough for him, but J-Man and Aguilar are better than those guys. Come on.
Yeah, probably head-to-head. I think that the... Oh, I mean, overall, you're right. Neither of them are good. I think I might go with Matthews and Aguilar. Although, to be fair, that was pre-Aguilar breakout. Aguilar only broke out after Jordan Matthews left.
That's fair. But still, McNabb had some trash, literally, to work with. I wanted to talk about the trades. I think... with the wide receivers, and by the way, I didn't want any part of Josh Gordon and all his baggage, even though he's such a great talent. But, you know, I was looking at a guy like Robbie Anderson potentially available, and he didn't move. But I think that Howie was a little bit gun-shy of trying to make a trade for a receiver because of what happened last year with Golden Tate, because gave up a third-round pick, couldn't implement him in the offense. It's the same offensive coordinator who couldn't do that. So I think he was a little bit hesitant to make that trade. And if that was his thought process, I would have went all in to go get Jalen Ramsey as the big trade before the deadline.
Right. Now, Ari, I thought when you mentioned Robbie Anderson, I thought that was a move that should have been done before Sam Darnold got back. You know what I mean? Because now they have some sample size of seeing, all right, what can these guys do together? That's what, I think the price went up because of that, not necessarily because they thought Robbie Anderson was some unmovable piece.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And I would have liked to see the wide receiver core get improved, but we're hoping that Deshaun is Deshaun again, which obviously that would be great, and they'd be okay with Aguilar in more of a limited role. But I think, honestly, they got to go with a lot of 12 personnel because Goddard might be your best slot guy at this point. And then if you leave Goddard on the field more, that might give Ertz some more opportunities because he's really been quiet the last few weeks because they've been really focusing on him, opposing defenses. So I'm hoping that they go more 12 personnel, use Miles Sanders more out of the backfield, maybe Sproles comes back. So there's options, but that defensive backfield still really scares me.
It is rough. And Ari, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it as always. When it comes to defensive backs in particular, I don't think that adding one fixes everything. And I was torn on this. I went back and forth. And I was thinking, on one hand, obviously upgrading talent where you can always helps. So, you know, just because you can't get four new defensive backs, does that mean you shouldn't get one? I understand that logic. But at the same time, like, for example, Jalen Ramsey, I was thinking about Ramsey and I was wondering, okay, is it possible that you create a Nnamdi Asamoah situation, not in Philadelphia version of Nnamdi Asamoah, but the Oakland version, where just nobody tests Jalen Ramsey and you're funneling targets more towards Rasul Douglas or Jalen Mills or whoever else is going to be out there. And then, you know, you have guys getting eaten up anyway. Like, how much does Jalen Ramsey fix? Now, you can roll coverage to the other side of the field if you trust Jalen Ramsey to hold up one-on-one, which obviously, if you're trading and paying that price, you do. But those are the things that I was thinking about that might have been potential holdups for Howie in a trade like that. Let's go to Greg in New Hope next on The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
What's going on? Oh, thanks. What's up, bud?
How we doing?
Super. You know, anytime the Flyers beat the Devils, I'm good. You know,
what I mean? That's what it is.
It's my happy place.
You know, start it off, it's all great. Yep.
Yeah. Listen, back to the Eagles, though. You know, I was thinking about, like, you know, there are two messages coming out of what's going on, right? Like, not picking up major contributors, right? Either Howie saying, my team is stale, I got to get as many picks and get it right. You know what I mean? Like, we need so many bodies in every group. you could possibly imagine, because we have an old team. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it just is what it is. And you don't wait until they can't play anymore. You got to bring guys behind them that can learn. You know what I mean? Because you're going to, you know, that's just what it is. And maybe that's what they're seeing. The other thing is, when I was thinking about, like, for me, Emmanuel Sanders is even a bigger issue. You know what I mean? Like, how do you not get that guy? I mean, see what you did yesterday, right?
Well, I was thinking about that myself. I thought, well, considering what the price ended up being, that looks like it's a perfect fit. If you were going discount bargain bin shopping, that was the way to go.
Big time. So, you know, the previous call, I forget his name, but, you know, he mentioned Golden Tate. You know, and I'm thinking the receiver core, pretty much on every team is a diva kind of, you know, core, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you hope, because, you know, the divas, you know, typically produce.
Usually pretty good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, if you were the players last year when Golden Tate came over, there's got to be some kind of, like, weird dynamic, you know, culture, chemistry, even though he's a great guy. Like, he's a wonderful, like, teammate, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with Golden Tate. But I just think that this, that was even at those guys. When I look at this team this year, the one thing that we're really lacking, because remember, like, we're just talking about corners. Well, you know, we have two Super Bowl winning corners. They were on the team when we won the Super Bowl. They're
right.
Back.
Yep, that's true.
The receiver core is basically the same, and he added Goddard, which is a dynamic, to me, a tight end. Like, that kid's going to be special. Give him a couple years. Mm-hmm. He's going to outdo Ertz. I really believe that. He's bigger. He's stronger. He runs better after the catch. All that stuff, right? And he blocks better immediately. The one thing that I point to that's missing in terms of the ingredients, right? Like, so you're making a marinara sauce. There's all kinds of stuff going on in there. And the one thing that's missing is the rotation on defense at the line.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay. Like, we were bringing fresh legs and we dominated the fourth quarter the year we won the Super Bowl because, you know, the guys, you know, had the burst, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So now that you have your corners, the only thing that's really, so, you know.
That's assuming that you think that the corners are going to hold up and be as good as they were, or at least as serviceable as they were in that Super
Bowl.
Yeah,
they weren't that great anyway, but they were good enough. Like, Darby's got the speed. You know what I mean? Like, they got the job done. But to me, it's about the rush. We're, you know, now, all I'm saying is this. Today, I'm looking at Howie as a kind of a homer, where he's trying to build a culture where he's showing the NFL, like, you know, the players aren't stupid. They're watching. They're paying attention. What teams are willing to commit to their older players, right?
Right. Yep.
Who you follow what I'm saying? Like, the second contract the kid's getting, like, you know, are we going to take care of him? Like, Brandon Graham got a third contract, basically.
Yeah.
I didn't love the contract, honestly. Like, I was not a big fan of that, but he did it. So today I'm looking at Howie going, am I going to be able to get the same production out of these people, all of them, if I just say I'm confident in all of you to do the job?
And stand pat. Yeah, Greg, sorry, we got to move on. We got to keep moving. But yes, like, clearly he's answering that question. Yeah. Like, by standing pat, you're getting enough out of everybody who's, you know, you think that you're going to get enough to at least win the division. Or the other side of it, of course, the flip side is, that it doesn't matter what you do, this team's not going to be a team that makes any kind of noise in the postseason, so you don't need to invest future assets in a team that's not going to live up to, quote-unquote, the new norm. That's the other half of it. Rocky in Williamstown's next on The Fanatic. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
You were
talking with stick handlers before, and I'm thinking of some of the great...
75, your phone number to join the conversation. You never know. You never know what you're going to get after a 4-3 Flyers win. And sometimes that is what you get. See, now it's an inconvenience to everyone, especially Bill and Tom's River. Because now I've got to wait for the dump delay to build back up before I can talk to Bill. So that is literally the least team player thing that anyone could ever do. That's very cruel in sports talk radio. I don't like that. So, Bill, I apologize. I promise when we'll get to you. Our next break's not for a while. So we're definitely going to get you in before the commercial. How'd that one get past you, D-Train? Come on, man. I expect better from you. There's a standard to uphold on this program.
You know, I could take the vote of just blaming the new guy who was in here, but I'm pretty sure I did screen him.
Wow.
So I'll take the blame on that. I'm pretty sure that was me.
Oh, man. So to even mention the new guy, that is just a sad
thing. I'm saying I could do that, but I'm pretty sure he had left by then.
Oh, wow. Well.
So I'm pretty sure that one's on me.
Yeah, but see, if it's just on you to begin with, why even bring up the other? Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying it's not right. It's not the way that you treat people in this business. Eagles are going to take on the Chicago Bears. We talked about the build-up between these two teams and the double doink and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. For a Football Friday, for the last 3 weeks, it has been so bizarre to me how little build-up there has even been for a lot of these games. And the problem that I have with all of it is that this used to be the get hype season, period. And we talk about how football games mean so much. They're weekly events, and there's only 16 of them. And you go and you get after it in terms of getting ready for the game. We're talking about your traditions, rituals, stuff like that. There's been so much just additional stuff, off the field stuff, that it does lend itself to paying attention to some things that are not necessarily the game specifically. Very, very strange. And I have to say, it's the first time that I've experienced this since I've been covering the Eagles. It's the first time that I've watched and taken total inventory of what people want to talk about. And we're talking about Embiid fighting. We're talking about Josh Gordon. We're talking about a lot of different things. Now, Josh Gordon obviously is game related as it relates to the Eagles, but I just don't know about where the weekly buildup has gone. I don't know if the Super Bowl robbed us of this or not, but the focus seems like it's been a little scattered this Eagles season. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. D-Train, do you think we've built up a reasonable amount of dump just in case Bill decides to go off the reservation? I know. It's still not. It isn't. It's still not safe. Bill, I'm sorry. I trust you implicitly. But I also need to buy diapers and stuff like that. So I had to wait that extra 20 seconds. Bill, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. We got these lines cleaned up or what?
Well, so here's the deal. You know that we're on like a 30-second delay in case anybody says any bad words. That gets cleaned out in the event that we do have to dump somebody saying bad words, and then it has to build itself back up. So literally, you could have been on the air 5 minutes earlier if the chucklehead in front of you didn't make us like blow the dump button. So you can blame your fellow callers for that issue.
Now I actually heard that on my end.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yes, you did. Please don't repeat it. But yes, you're the only one who heard it because you're not on the delay. You were on hold. So that's how you hear it.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, that's some tomfoolery, ask me.
That is tomfoolery. That's exactly right. What's on your mind, Bill?
I was going to talk a little Flyers. I'm in a little bit of a weird mood. I think that guy completely killed the vibe of your show, but I'll try. Let's go. I want to talk baseball, and here's why. The Mets made an interesting hire today in the Carlos Beltran.
Yep.
So what I was saying, I think the Phillies made the wrong move, and hear me.
We try, and then. And then we fail sometimes. That's a shame. Yeah, pretty much. That is the mood. That is the mood of the program. 610-632-0975. I have to say, that's two that made it through the McKinnon net. I expect more from my friend D-Train. Anyway. Before we were interrupted, Flyers with a 4-3 shootout win over the New Jersey Devils. And obviously, they're taking on the Maple Leafs tomorrow. Maple Leafs chock full of big time players and some firepower that you've got there. There is the massive game. And I say massive, I don't mean that Sunday's game is like definitionally a must win for the Eagles. Obviously, there's still time. There's still runway out in front of the Eagles. You can, if you lose to Chicago, you can make up ground, right? You can make it up by beating the Patriots or beating the Seahawks, or you certainly need to beat the Cowboys again, right? These are the things that we, you know, are looking at here. It's just way easier if you take care of business against Chicago. Now, it seems that the weather is not going to be any kind of factor. It seems like the conditions are going to be pretty good. Chicago is 3-4 on the season. The Eagles are 4-4. It seems like these two teams could potentially go either way. And that's why I'm not saying that Chicago is an easy win. But I know that there are a lot of people out there that are going to say there is just no way that a Carson Wentz-led team is going to fall to a Mitchell Trubisky-led team. And I have to say that's hard logic to argue with. Mitchell Trubisky's looked really brutal. And it's not, by the way, it's not Trubisky's fault that he was selected second overall in the draft. But it looks even worse when you've got Trubisky go there, and then it's Watson and Mahomes way after that, like 8-9 picks after that. That is a tough paper route for Mitchell Trubisky. And then there's the double doink situation last year that he really had nothing to do with. There's a lot of different elements to it that are kind of all adding up to Mitchell Trubisky facing a significant amount of heat. And now he's got this this Eagles defense kind of fighting for their lives here ahead of time. And that's something that they've got to also deal with. The Eagles, they have not done the best. They've done okay, but not the best at handling the mobile quarterback. And that's something that they're certainly going to have to do, because Trubisky is, if nothing else, a dangerous guy when the ground game becomes a factor for him. When he decides to tuck and run, it reminds you of Josh Allen, who, by the way, against Josh Allen, he's an example of one of the guys that they did a pretty good job against. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Wow. Matt Nagy talking about baseball and the World Series. Cites the Nationals' comeback as an example of how to not give up on a season. Nationals were like 11-30, right? They were like significantly back in the NL East.
Yeah, they started out the season playing really bad.
Yep. Oh, 19-31 is what they were. So that's what he's trying to channel with the Bears and saying, hey, you're 3-4, but you could turn this season around. This whole thing can get back into another, you know, well, who knows? If you're the Bears, you've already had this success in the past of leaning on your defense and the ground game, shortening games, relying on Khalil Mack and company, etc. But now, of course, we've got the situation where it's, you know, a little bit different. You're not getting the play-action passes that you were getting when you had Jordan Howard. The offense is looking one-dimensional with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, Tariq Cohen obviously hasn't been the factor that a lot of people anticipated that he would be, becoming the feature back. Now, to be fair, I like Tariq Cohen. I thought that he made sense in terms of what Matt Nagy wanted to do. But I mean, The Athletic was asking, you know, what happened to Tariq Cohen? It's just been a disappointing situation. And it's not like he's the only guy there. There are a lot of tools that the Bears have, but part of it is that with Mitchell Trubisky running the show, it's been a little bit hard to sustain offense. Let's go to Tim in Collingswood next on The Fanatic. Hey, Tim.
Sam, hey, am I on air?
Yeah, you're on the air. What's up, man?
Hey, you keep, you know, I'm from Chicago, and you keep giving Trubisky a bad rap, and you know, I'm really, really getting tired of these Philadelphia fans thinking that Wentz is so superior to some of these other young talents in the NFL.
Like whom?
Like whom? Huh, let me think. Deshaun Watson.
Are you listening to me? I'm telling you that nobody in Philadelphia who's called my show has said that Wentz is better than Deshaun Watson. No one.
Hold on a second. This is the other problem with you Philadelphia people. You don't let opposing people get opinions in. You know,
I'm just correcting what you said.
Let's break down the numbers of Dak Prescott versus Carson Wentz. I know that's an unpopular opinion on Philadelphia radio.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, and I know you're probably going to cut me off real soon because you guys don't like to hear the truth, and you don't like facts, and you don't like numbers.
Well, so you
get to the point then.
You were the one. You
look at QB rating.
You were the one who said that we said that Wentz was better than Deshaun Watson, and no one said that. So of the two of us, the only one who said anything factually incorrect so far in this call is you.
Okay, so let's go through some of the numbers, actually, okay? So let's look at all the young quarterbacks that are playing significantly better than Carson Wentz.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, are you ready? I'm waiting.
Oh, you're actually right. You're not going to cut me off air when
just get to the point. Holy cow, I'm going to cut you off if you wait one more time, dude.
You stupid Philadelphia people.
610-632-0975. Dylan's never hopped on in the middle of a phone call for me before, so you must have gotten Dylan very upset. And I don't want this station to go nuclear, so that's the only reason that I had to stop that.
I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Well, I asked him like 10 times.
But he wouldn't get to the point. He just kept going on about how we don't want to hear it, but he didn't want to say it.
I'm waiting. Still waiting. Rodney on the cell next on the Fanatic. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
The 11 o'clock hour has been outstanding, so I hope that you can live up to the standard so far.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've listened to your show for a long time. I've never heard a call set like this. This is unbelievable.
It's amazing. It's outside. You know what? It must be the Devils shootout loss. You know, all the closet Devils fans around are just getting frustrated. What's on your mind, Rodney?
I don't know if it's the Devils or if the Devils in the detail, but one way or the other, this has been the most interesting hour of radio I've heard in my life.
That's sad.
And I think you've been rolling with the punches pretty well, truthfully, and I got to give you props for that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Rodney. That's part of the job.
That's great, and that's why you handle it so well. And that's
610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The mystery about Rolly chairs is I have a set of headphones here that I've been using. And the headphones rarely leave my head, but somehow the Rolly chair has managed to like completely get this thing all wrapped around. So I'm like actively on the air right now, working my way through that, and just managed to undo the spaghetti and get that out from under the rolling chair. So there we go. We're all set and ready to get back to action. Speaking of that, just like the Philadelphia Eagles are, actually, the way that they are looking towards this Chicago game, and we mentioned how much the Eagles kind of need this game. Chicago really needs it too. But looking at the Eagles' schedule, I know that that's been a common theme so far during the day. I heard it during Mike's show. I heard it earlier on too. Obviously, you've got the bye week after this, which is why, by the way, I would think about holding out the likes of Miles Sanders and DeSean Jackson, because you do have the Patriots at home after the bye. Then you have the Seahawks at home with, you know, the new additions, Josh Gordon, Jadeveon Clowney, etc. On the road against the Dolphins, at home against the Giants, Washington on the road, Cowboys at home, Giants on the road. It's getting to the point now where, to use the cliche, the rubber meets the road. And the Bears game, when you look at that, when you've got some leeway, right? You play the Giants twice, you play the Dolphins, and you play Washington. You've got some leeway there, but not a ton. You've got to be looking. I think that you're not going to win the division without winning 10 games. So in order to get there, you've got to get all of those games that you should win. Dolphins, Giants, Washington, Giants. And then you've got to figure out a way to win a couple of these other games too. Conceivably, you really have to have the Cowboys game too. You got to find a way to win one of the Patriots, Seahawks, and Bears. I think that you'd be able to do that. I think that there's very little chance that if you're going to be a team that's going to be competing big time for a division title or making moves, I don't anticipate that you'd have trouble finding a win somewhere in there, especially with these games being at home. You've experienced the tough part of it. You did the long road trip already. And you don't have the concern about going on the road for some of these games. Your games are in Washington, in New York, in Miami. Not what you would call the world's most daunting road trips. So everything's, despite the fact that the team started out the way that they did, and the disappointing way that this season began, that says to me that, you know, they do have the chance to ultimately take their destiny in their own hands. That says something about the caliber of the team. And we pointed out all of their shortcomings. We talked about wide receiver. We talked about defensive backfield. We talked about defensive line, linebackers. There were a lot of different things that we pointed to when we were saying that, yeah, this is not the team that a lot of people anticipated going into this year. When we were talking about the new norm. When we were talking about Super Bowl or bust, when we were talking about this and that and the other thing. But now, at the very least, if you take care of business against some of these teams that are good teams that you're going to have to face in the event that you make it to the playoffs anyway, that is what you're doing. You're ending up having to beat a playoff caliber team. Ari hits back up on the text board. I think Howard has a huge game against his former team, and that's how we win. And also, if that Chicago guy actually listened to Philly Sports Talk Radio, he would know that we're critical of Wentz and realize he's not as good as some of the other quarterbacks. The young quarterbacks, that is. However, he is much better than Trubisky, which, of course, is what I was waiting for. You know what I mean? We're not going with the big stretches, but to say, yeah, Wentz probably isn't as far along development-wise as Pat Mahomes. He's probably not as far along development-wise as Deshaun Watson. Probably not as far along as some of these other guys. But, I mean, the list of young receivers, or young quarterbacks, rather, who are way ahead of Carson Wentz is kind of short, I would think. So, there you go. Now, the fact is that, is it going to be tough to beat the Seahawks at home or the Patriots at home? Yeah, of course it is. But enough. I don't think that the way that the Eagles played early on, we expected the season to be easy at all. So the fact that it's even possible, like I'm looking at the Falcons loss. Falcons loss is going to be the worst loss of the season because the Falcons haven't won a game. They haven't won a game other than that all season. And it's looking brutal. You lost a game to the Lions. Now, the Lions actually end up looking a little bit better than we anticipated. You get your doors blown off at Minnesota. You're not in the game at all against Dallas. Based on all of those things, the fact that the division is even a possibility, I don't know necessarily if you'd call it a miracle, a small miracle, but you certainly would call it something to the effect of improbable. And that's what gives me the positive assurance that the Eagles at least have the ability to get it done. It has to start with Chicago, and it has to be that you're building something, starting with last week's 31-13 drubbing of the Bears, of the Bills. You take care of business in Chicago, or against Chicago. Wow, if I could speak. And then go into the bye, you're feeling pretty good about the way that things are progressing moving forward. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter as well at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Although, to be fair, it's possible that, we got a lot to talk about tonight. It's possible that that we don't make it. So let's get to some tweets, by the way, because people have been reaching out on Twitter. Some of these tweets are good. I don't want to read them out loud, but they're really good. So if you sent me one in the last like 3 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that, you know who you are. I approve of your tweet. People were talking about the Josh Gordon situation. And they were saying, well, just for example, at Benny tweets in, not sure that the Josh Gordon situation is conducive for a team locker room. That was the strength of the team during the Super Bowl year, and not sure how he wants to mess with that. Chuck Taylor tweets in, and this is from the early portion of the show before the Flyers game, talking about the playoff picture and the way that things have shaped up. I was talking about the fact that, yeah, we expected things to go a certain way, and teams that are big-time playoff contenders have been the teams, or maybe beyond that, Super Bowl contenders, are the teams that have been trying to add to and bolster their rosters. When you're looking at Howie's in a weird spot because the season kind of hangs in the balance. Because if you lose to Chicago, you lose to New England, you lose to Seattle, the season's kind of done as it is. You're probably not going to get the job done with a 9-7 record. So if you're Howie, do you really want to, right at the trade deadline, be trading for whoever? Even guys who would have been good ideas. Emmanuel Sanders, I think, would have been a good idea. Do you really want to be throwing and investing those assets after, you're looking at a team and it's not a playoff contending team? It's not a good team? It's not a team that is going to take that next step, add that next chapter to the history books? Which, by the way, I'll be accepting apologies for all of the horrendous takes on my dislike of the fact that everybody associated with the team wrote a book about the fact that there's a statue outside Lincoln Financial Field with Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. Everybody's saying, oh, Joe, come on, man. Give it up. Let them have some fun. It's the first Super Bowl. No. But you see now how things start to mess with, quote-unquote, the culture? How it's easy to sit back on your laurels when you have to walk past a statue yourself? When you're walking past your own book on the bookshelves? If somebody asks you, comes up and says, Doug, congratulations on the Super Bowl. Really want you to be able to tell your story. His answer should have been, I'm busy writing the next chapter right now. Trying to win another Super Bowl. So how about we reconnect in 10 years, a little further down the line, and we'll talk about it. I get striking while the iron's hot, but are you trying to sell books? Are you trying to change to the new norm? It's just a simple question. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. By the way, don't miss me and Pat Callahan tomorrow on This Week in Pro Football. Lots of good stuff. Which Eagles team shows up on Sunday? What was the purpose of the trade deadline when there weren't really deadline deals that were made? Another needless whistle changes the game. Who has the better fight song? Also the Bears. Coaching hot seats, picks, and all of that's coming up from 9 to noon tomorrow. So lots of good stuff there. By the way, I meant to say this earlier. During the Flyers game, you might have missed it, but the 7 o'clock hour was brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Okay, so the Eagles and the Bears, that line opened the Eagles with a small favorite. Small favorite. But the betting lines so far have stayed fairly steady. Bears are 2-5 against the spread this season, 0-3 in their last three. Eagles are 3-5 against the spread. They're 2-1 in their last three. At home, the Birds are just 3-7, 5-1 straight up in the last six home games. The over is 4-2 in the Eagles' last six games, so that's something to consider. And then the prediction from USA Today has the Eagles 21 and the Bears 17. Interesting. All right, so there's a lot of people. I would say that most of the public so far, all over the Eagles at home. I have to say, I thought that the double doink rematch was going to be a lot more interesting than it seems like it's going to be. I expected the Bears to be a lot better. And to be quite frank, I expected the Eagles to be a lot better at this point, too. I expected this to potentially be an NFC playoff matchup. And now both of these teams, the Bears especially, are going to need a little bit of help in order to make the postseason. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Coming up, we got the final segment. We got the world-famous, often imitated, never duplicated, One More Thing. We've got plenty of more stuff coming your way next. It is the Joe Torti Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until midnight, Dylan McKinnon is producing this evening's program. Doing a great job, as he always does. Lots of interesting stuff that has gone on so far in the last 24 hours here, and it's almost hard to remember that we've got a football game coming up against the Chicago Bears. It's going to be an interesting one to watch to see the Mitchell Trubisky versus Carson Wentz matchup. Obviously, Trubisky with a significant number of weapons. And the phenomenon that's been fascinating about the Bears, right, is that Trubisky's final drives of his last, like, four games have looked really, really good. Like, it seems like it's, like, crunch time situations that have really caused him to step up. And the question, I mean, I follow a significant number of Bears writers and people that are following the Bears scene over there. And the big question is, where is all of this during, you know, most of the rest of the game? You know, why do they put themselves in position? Why does he put himself in a position to, you know, have to do the comeback situation? Also, devastating news, as you know. On Sunday, daylight savings time ends. And I'm not ready for it. I always thought that it was a cruel thing that happened too, because by this time, you've already noticed that the days are getting way, way shorter. You've already noticed that the sun's going down. For me, like, I have my house lights on a timer. And I knew that the timer had to be adjusted because it is getting darker earlier and things like that. And then to add insult to injury, you just push back the clock the hour. And so there you go. Sunday, the end of daylight savings time. You get an extra hour of sleep, but it'll be dark by 5 p.m. It's a bummer. I don't like it. And I was talking about this with somebody I was having lunch with earlier this week. I think that everybody has some touch. And I'm not making light of it, but I think everybody has some touch of that seasonal affectiveness disorder, where you just don't get enough sun. It's grumpy outside. Now, mine is usually related to the fact that my car battery will inevitably die every single winter. And I'll never get the salt stuff off of my car until spring. So a lot of mine are automobile related. But I think that is something that we have to deal with coming up on Sunday. Man, oh man, a couple days I don't like it. D-Train, are you upset about the loss of daylight savings time every year like I am?
Yeah, it's not a good time. I mean, it's nice night of because you get that extra hour. But yeah. After that, with just getting dark really, really early.
Yeah.
I mean, now, whenever I float on from 2 to 6, it's going to be me driving home in the dark because it's going to be dark by the time I get done.
That's exactly right. It's funny. I used to, there were times when I was doing updates here, and I would do the double shift. I would do updates in the morning, and then sometimes I would do them in the evening too, or in the afternoon for Mike's show. And I wouldn't see the sun. I'd just come in. It'd be dark. I would leave. It'd be dark. And that happens, obviously, to all the people who work shift work or nurses or anybody like that. I know that that's happening a lot. So we feel for you, certainly, and it's not the most fun time of all time. Okay, it's time. The one, the only, often imitated, never duplicated, the one, the only, one more thing. I thought this was fascinating that the Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble. Pretty much all of them. Mike Tomlin's in trouble. The organization's in trouble. They're getting fined for failure to disclose the Ben Roethlisberger injury. The Steelers have been fined $75,000, and their coach, Mike Tomlin, has been fined an additional $25,000 for inaccurately listing Ben Roethlisberger's status on their player participation report. He was originally listed as not practicing due to a coach's decision, but the team later announced that the quarterback underwent elbow surgery. My first thought was like, somebody cheats besides the Patriots? And then my second thought, of course, was that if you couldn't tell that he was hurt to begin with, even in the Patriots game, you know, you probably weren't paying attention all that much. But wow. That shows you how seriously the league is really taking the new like gambling situation. Because how often have teams done this in the past and haven't gotten just like swept under the rug? But now with all of the gambling partners and sports gambling being legal in the United States, I think this is something that we're going to see more of, not less. The injury report being taken really seriously. And not only that, I would anticipate you're going to see the injury designations kind of get revamped again, the same way that you would kind of see like the probable thing went away. I bet it comes back. I bet that there are a lot of other. I bet you get, you know, the probable, questionable, doubtful, out designation coming back, if not more injury designations. You're going to have a lot of different things that this sports betting thing is going to affect. But the league is certainly taking it seriously with the Eagles, or with the Steelers rather, being fined a total of $100,000 for failing to list Roethlisberger's participation on the injury report correctly. So I don't think of any circumstances that come to mind right now related to the Eagles doing this, but it seems like I would think that what the Cardinals did last week with David Johnson has to be like something similar. You know what I mean? Unless he actually did have a full practice and just tweaked himself in warmups or whatever. But I do know that this is going to be something that there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on, for sure. And by the way, this is the article. I wanted to share this with you. I guess it's two more things. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times. Why does it take until the final drive for Mitch Trubisky to figure things out? Bears deficits have been in part to Trubisky's own making, but he's led them to game-winning field goal tries three times in the last eight games. And Doug Peterson remembers how Trubisky got the Bears in position to kick the Cody Parkey field goal, the double doink, and things like that. It is tough for the Bears fans out there that Mitchell Trubisky kind of is putting them into the fire and then pulling them out at the same time. Matt Nagy talks about it as well, his ability to come from behind, his resilience, things like that. And it is something that's a compliment to Trubisky. It's going to be a fascinating game. I'm going to withhold, respectfully to everybody listening now, my prediction, because I'm going to save it for tomorrow on This Week in Pro Football, because Pat Callahan and I obviously do Eagles predictions, also picks against the spread. Spoiler alert, things not going well in that department for the entire show, but I'm confident that this is the week that we really do turn that around. We'll be broadcasting live from Parks Casino's brand new fabulous sports book That's coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll be broadcasting until noon there. It's going to be a good time, so hopefully you'll tune in, or you know, you could even come out and join us if you're in the Bensalem area. You know where that is, and if you've been there, you know how fantastic that place is to take in college and pro football. So definitely make sure that you join us there. That's going to wrap things up for the Joe Torti Show. Thank you very much to Dylan McKinnon, my producer, doing an outstanding job tonight. Thank you very much to each and every single one of the callers out there tonight. Really appreciated your contributions to the show. I'll be back on the airwaves tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This has been the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.